We're talking about the value, the importance of praying in tongues. And today I want to talk about the transformation that's available to you and why it's so important that each person, each individual has that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because His desire, His heart for you is to transform out of your outward man into your inner man. When you were born again, you received a new nature. And that new nature brought to life your inner man, your spiritual body. It's called the reborn human spirit. Some people call it that. It's your inner man. Now you have a spiritual mind and emotions that can grow in wisdom and knowledge and in the emotions of Christ. But you have to develop it or it remains immature. Unfortunately, God left you in your outward body. And it is where all your troubles come from. The mind, will, emotions, the soul of the outward man will cause you trouble. And so I want to talk about how many Christians are deceived in the way that they're serving God, but really they're appeasing the natural soul, the outward man. They haven't transformed yet. Let's start over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's a comparison now. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For this flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. So here is a battle, a fight, a civil war between the inner man, the Spirit, and the outward man, the flesh. Now, when I say flesh, what does that mean? Well, when you say the word flesh in this context, it's not talking about your fingers and your toes and your hair. It's not talking about the body. It's talking about a part of your natural body, what we would call the soul of the outward man, the mind, the will, and emotions of the outward man. It will try to lead you and guide you. But it's not been born again. It is still from this earth. It's going to eventually fall off of you, or when the trumpet sounds, be replaced with a new outward body. Well, that's the source of all your battles, all your struggles. Not the body itself. The body is the temple of God. But inside that body is the natural soul. The old Alan that I used to be from my first birth. But I'm a new creature, a new creation that began the moment I was saved. I'm now a whole new person on the inside of righteousness that wants God, desires God from the soul of the inner man, but I have to fight against the soul of the outward man. This is a fight that many Christians really don't understand. They try to clean up the outward soul, dress it up, educate it, but we're supposed to mortify it, put it to death. Let's read a little more here. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For they're contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. Are you in that fight where you have the outward man trying to lead you and the inner man trying to lead you, and they're going in different directions? You have to choose in the fight each day who you're going to feed, who you're going to pour into. You're either going to let the inner man grow or you let the outward man grow in religion. I'm going to jump down here to verse 24. This is not my key verse today. Verse 24. For those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So that's a clue here that there's passions. Passion means it is ravishingly hungry for something, is passionate. It has passions and desires. Now, the Bible says to lift up holy hands. So are my hands holy? Do my hands have passions and desires? Well, lifting up holy hands means that I don't let my hands do unholy things. I keep my hands clean and holy because I don't allow them, or I don't ask my hands to do unholy things. Where does the passion and desire to hold a beer or to fornicate, to hold a cigarette that my hands might be involved with, where is a passion that may ask my hands to do things that are unholy come from? Where is that in me? Is it in my hands? No. It's in your natural soul, the body. So here, when it says to crucify the flesh, is talking about the natural soul. That is where the originator of passions and desires against the will of God come from. That is in each of our natural body, the natural soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And we're to take it and to crucify it. It's funny how I put my natural man on the cross, and the next morning when I wake up, there he is again. There's old Alan standing there, dressed nice and religiously, saying, "Good morning, Alan, let's go ahead." And I got a plan of today of what all the things we need to do to be successful and happy. See, your outward body will be happy to dress religiously and serve God, but it won't want to go back on the cross. The only place the natural soul belongs, the flesh. Here in this context, the word flesh, you could say natural soul, because that's where the passions and desires that are contrary to the will of God come from. That's why you have to put it on the cross, because that is the flesh that's fighting against the inner man, the spiritual man. Your inner man has a soul that's birth of God, but it only wants the knowledge of God. It wants the will of God. It wants worship time with God. That's holiness. That's what excites the inner man. That's the desires of the inner man. All other desires come from the outward body's soul, what we would call the flesh. And where does that flesh belong? And its passions and desires. My hand doesn't have passions or desires. It's asked to do things by the natural soul, and I can choose to go along with that request or to deny that request. No, I won't give you what you're after, because my hands are holy. They're only used for holiness. Let's go a little further over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you've received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the will of God, your sanctification." So sanctification is the process of where I choose to accept God's standards for my life instead of listening to the desires of my outward man. The moment you're born again, you have a fight within you. It's the new nature begins to produce righteousness in you and is full of righteousness. It's complete in righteousness. That new nature is where you become righteous. And instantly it begins to challenge all unrighteousness in your life, all unrighteous desires, passions, plans, hopes, anything that is against the will of God and holiness in your life. The new nature will begin to convict you and say, that's not who we are anymore. That's from the old man. And Paul says the word sanctification. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." So instantly, the moment you're born again, you can choose to have holy hands and to abstain from all types of sexual immorality. That's pornography, that's watching wrong movies, that's flirtation with other people outside of your spouse. Instantly, you have the authority to choose holiness and righteousness. And that is the will of God. Your outward man may fight you, but you have the right and the power to instantly choose the will of God and say, I am holy and righteous because I am a child of God. "That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." So this vessel, this body, this outward man, it's not talking about your toes and your fingers. Your problem's not your toes or your fingers. It's the flesh, the natural soul, that's trying to tell you how to live. Now, it does include desires for sin, smoking, drinking, pornography, that kind of thing. But it goes much deeper than that. The outward soul is everything that tries to tell you who you are from your outward man. This is what I need to be happy. This is what I need to be successful. The outward soul will push its agenda on you. And it says, we should know how to possess. In other words, I'm in charge, not you, outward soul. You are not in charge of me anymore. And it will try to tell you, yes, yes, I need this. Let's do this. And religion, all forms of religion, Christian religion will say, that will get you saved and get you to heaven. But it's a religious walk. It doesn't cost you the fight. It doesn't ask you to fight to put the flesh, the outward man's soul, on the cross. It says, how do I serve God? How do I do things for God? Do things in the name of God? And the outward flesh, the outward soul, is supposed to be mortified, put on the cross with its passions and desires. Not to be trained, not to serve God, but to die on the cross daily. Verse 4. Each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. That means you force your outward man to obey the word of God. You possess it. I'm in charge. Not in passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So there's the Holy Spirit showing up again on how to possess this vessel, this outward body, and its passions and desires, and to place it on the cross daily. I want to say this because this is the real walk of the Spirit, is the fight within yourself of who's going to lead you each day, your inner man or your outer man. Who are you going to feed each day, the inner man or the outer man? Religion allows you to right away go and serve God and do things for God, do good works in the name of God. And many Christians who've tackled smoking and drinking say, yeah, I've got it under control, but they're living, they're feeding the passions and desires. It may not be sexual sin or carnal sin like smoking and drinking, but the passions and desires of what to accomplish in this life. I need to do this. Your natural soul will tell you who your friends are, will tell you who to marry. Your natural soul will tell you what kind of job you need to have and what kind of what level of success you need to have to be successful and complete in this world. But we're not to be led by that natural soul. We're to mortify it. We're to put it to death so we can follow the leading of God through our inner man, which only desires the things of God, including holiness. Holiness is just the tip of the iceberg. The rest of the desires of the natural soul are where the fight really comes from. And so let's go now over to Romans chapter 8. You know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we always, almost always end up in Romans chapter 8. Verse 13, we'll start there. For if you live according to the flesh, now that word flesh in this context means the nature of sin. So if you're not saved and you live according to the old nature, you will die. There's no life outside of a new nature. But if by the Spirit, this is your inner man, the word Spirit here means your inner man, which holds the new nature, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, it's not telling you to put to death the body, because the body itself is not your problem. Your fingers and toes are not where your problem is. We don't want to harm the body. We want the body to be healthy and holy, because it's the temple of God. but it says the deeds of the body. Again, Paul's saying the same thing as he did in Galatians to the Romans. There's a place in your body, this vessel, this outward man, that has deeds and desires and passions, appetites, and you must possess it. You must take charge of it and not allow it to lead you. Many Christians live a life of appeasing the outward man and they don't even know it. Getting rid of smoking and drinking, that's usually the first things we tackle. But it's so much more than that. Your outward man will try to tell you how you can serve God. He'll try to tell you how to pick a pastor, how to pick a church, how to pick friends, because it has appetites and desires of what it needs to be whole and complete. That's the natural soul. It's like your personal AI system that will try to lead you and guide you, and you are to make it submit to the Word of God. Verse 13 again, if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit, that's the inner man, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we have a job here with the outward body, the outward soul, and it is to put it to death, to mortify it. Pastor Dave would say, if you're laying on a slab, a cold slab, and above you is a mortician, and you're in a mortuary, then you're probably mortified. This mortification here means death, put to death. When something's dead, you've killed it. Many Christians, they say, well, I want to do something. I want to be angry or do something, but I'm fighting it. I'm not doing it. I'm mortifying it. No, your mortification means it's a one-act thing where you take a knife and you kill it. You've killed the desire. That is what we're supposed to do with the outward man. We're not to be led by the outward man. We are to mortify the deeds of the outward man, the deeds of the body. Let's go now down to verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So there is a suffering in putting to death the deeds of the body. It is a personal warfare. You're in the trench, a civil war between your inner man and the outward man. Many Christians have shaken hands with the outward man, where the outward man said, look, if you quit killing me, I'll submit. It's like you take a man and you, in the movies, and the stronger man puts the weaker man underwater, and right before he drowns, he pulls him up, says, will you tell me what I want to know? And eventually, right before the weaker man dies, he pulls him up, and the weaker man knows he's about to die. He says, I give up. I'll do whatever you want. Just don't kill me. Well, that's where religion steps into Christianity. When the outward man knows you're going to kill it, it finally says, okay, I'll give up. I won't push you for smoking and drinking. I'll be good. You can dress me up on Sundays and I'll lift my hands, but just don't kill me. And it tries to negotiate a life of religion where it's alive and leading you. Inside of each of us, our natural soul, I call it like a worm. It's a little worm that we all have. It's the appetites and desires of the natural soul. And again, it may not be smoking and drinking. I'm trying to get us off of just seeing the desires of the flesh as being for fornication and smoking and drinking. The desires of the outward man are everything of who it wants you to be. There's many people strive for success in life because they're trying to feed that brokenness. It's like a little worm in their natural soul. It says, I need this to be happy. I need this to be complete. Some people, they need wealth. They pursue wealth so they have power to do what they want to do. They're tired of waiting. They want it now. So they pursue wealth so they have the power to do things. For some people, it's popularity. They want people to like them. For some people, it's love. They want people to love them. For some people, it's position. They want to have authority over people. They want to be respected. And those aren't sinful things, but they are desires of the flesh. And that little worm will yell at you every day, give me what I want to be happy. Feed me. And it's just like the body. The body has two areas that are appetites that are very natural and they're not wrong. One is for food, the other is for sex. And in every creature, those are two appetites that will steer you and drive you. In Canada, we have the rutting season. It's called for the deer and the moose and the elk. And that's when the females would come into heat. The does would come into heat and the bucks would begin to, their testosterone would begin to rise up and they would start desiring to meet a doe. And they would go to war. They would kill each other if they had to. They would fight to the death sometimes, but mostly they would fight to see who has a right to the does. They're driven by that desire. That's a very natural desire. Well, the scripture doesn't tell us to mortify that desire. It tells us to regulate it by one man and one woman in holy matrimony, in marriage. Then you can release, you can fulfill that desire. You can satisfy that hunger. It doesn't ask you to mortify it. The other one is food. The scripture doesn't tell us to mortify the hunger for food. Otherwise, we would shrivel up and die after a couple of months. Some of us may last 3 months. It tells us to regulate it, to eat healthy, to eat certain foods, not to be gluttonous. It doesn't tell us to mortify that. So when it's telling us to mortify the deeds of the body, it's talking about the appetites of the body to what the soul, the natural soul says, I need this to be happy. And you see it in many Christians, they serve God, but really they don't know they're serving that worm in them that says, feed me. And what happens is every time you feed that worm of brokenness, it could be, I don't feel worthy before God, so I need to be active doing things, accomplishing things, give me purpose so I feel valuable to God so He won't reject me. It could be prestige. It could be a celebrity. It could be for finances. Whatever it is, people in the world are driven by their natural soul. It chooses who they marry. It directs them on the job, the career, the finances they seek, the status they seek. I need to have this big of a house or this much stuff to be respected. That's all the natural soul leading them. You have a natural soul. It's still alive, but your job is to mortify it and say, number one, I am taking possession of my life to follow God and to follow my inner man. And number two, I'm going to mortify the deeds of this natural body. That is the natural soul. So in verse 18 of Romans 8, it says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So this suffering he's talking about is the battle between the inner man and the outward man. You live in the inner man and you are wearing the outward body, but it has its own system, the natural soul trying to tell you what to do, where to go, who to love, who to serve. One man I met, he said something really profound. He said he was struggling getting married, and he didn't know why he was struggling. And the Lord told him, you really don't love your fiance. And he said, what? No, I love her. And he said, no, you're loving yourself through loving her. It hit me really strong. It was very profound that I'm loving someone else, but really I'm doing it to benefit me. I'm satisfying my own need by loving them. And you see that in Christianity all the time. People who serve and do things, participate in church activities, but really it's to feed the brokenness of their natural man, the need, the hunger of that worm, I call it. And see, if you have those brokenness of the natural soul, it's where you get desires for certain type of friends, certain type of activities, and you begin to feed it. It says, oh, thank you. It rewards you. The natural soul rewards you with chemical emotions of happiness and success. Do you ever see someone who struggles with smoking? It's quite comical for us who don't smoke, watching them. And I grew up around smoke, so my whole family smoked. cigarettes. And I remember watching one lady come out of a church one time and went around to the area to have her cigarette. She lit her cigarette and it brought so much peace to her. Like, oh, it was like, I'm safe again. It's life's okay. Well, that's called an addiction. But what's happening is her brain was releasing chemicals of dopamine and making her feel full, like, okay, everything's going to be okay. But when she wasn't given it, the smoke, the nicotine, her brain was punishing her, saying, give it to me now or else. It's making her feel uncomfortable and even jittery and unhappy and defeated until she gave it what it wanted. That wasn't the cigarette. That wasn't the problem. It was her brain demanding it and punishing her until she gave it the nicotine. What are you addicted to? Is it approval? Is it celebrity? Is it people following you? Is it the need to have money to be in power or in charge? What are you and I addicted to that's outside of smoking and drinking? There's many things, and those little worms, I call it, it's a brokenness in the natural soul. If you give it what it wants, it will reward you with feelings of being complete and happy. And if you don't, it will complain until you give it what it wants. And as you feed it, it grows into a green monster, an ugly green monster that's huge, and it begins to really push and lead your life. And you can do it within the realms of religion. Again, I'm trying to get out of smoking and drinking because many people see the fight of holiness being just sin. That's the first fight. That's the beginning fight. The real fight, the deep fight, are things of the natural soul that try to tell you who you are. And if you don't feed it, you take that monster you fed all your life and all of a sudden the Lord begins to lead you down different paths. For me, my monster was unworthiness. And I didn't realize it. It was a giant in me, in my natural soul, that I didn't know lived there. And it made me feel unworthy before God, that I was unworthy to receive His love. So I was the best servant in the church. I was the busiest guy in the church. And as long as I was busy, every day doing things, winning souls, helping people, feeding the poor, I felt good. And when I went before God at night, I felt safe because I had many things to offer Him. Say, look what I did for you, God. I have a purpose. I have a value to you. Look at what I accomplished for you. And it was my offering to Him, I thought, but it was really to feed the unworthiness in my, that giant of unworthiness, that monster of unworthiness in my natural man. And I felt, and when as long as I gave it purpose and value, it fed on it and rewarded me with emotions of success and confidence before God. But on a slow day when I didn't do good work, all of a sudden I felt unworthy. That night I couldn't go before God. I felt ashamed and unworthy. I hadn't fed that monster. I was serving God. I was serving that monster through serving God. And I was feeding it. And boy, when I start praying in tongues, you don't feel purposeful. You're sitting down and you're going rundala shundala for 4 or 5 hours. You didn't do anything. You didn't really accomplish anything to offer God. And I began to feel unworthy because that giant was beginning to complain. Hey, we got to do some things. We need to do some things. I'll never forget when I first realized it. Every Saturday, we would go out soul winning, me and a group of guys from the church. And we'd pick an area in town, a poor area in town. We'd go knock on doors and share the gospel and pray for people. It was every Saturday. And the Friday night, I got a call from one of the guys that we were working together. And, hey, Alan, we think as a group we're going to go to this area tomorrow, and we'll see you there. We're excited about what God's going to do. Praise God. And it was odd because at that moment, after praying in tongues for a while, nothing in me wanted to go win souls. Not that day. And I thought it was odd, but I said I was so strong in me not to go that I can't make myself go. If I make myself go, I'm doing something wrong. And so I told my friend, the leader with me, I said, hey, I'm not going to come tomorrow. He said, oh, are you okay? Are you sick? What's wrong? No, I feel fine. Everything's fine. I just don't want to go. Oh, well, Alan, we're winning souls. There's people going to hell. You need to come. Said, yeah, I know that, but I just don't want to go. Well, are you backsliding? Like, what's wrong with you? And I said, no. I said, well, what are you going to do? He asked me, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. You know, I started to get a little bit ornery, like, well, maybe I'll watch a movie or sleep. I don't know, but I'm not going to go out and win souls. Well, he thought I was backsliding. I started to think, am I backsliding? I asked God, I said, God, am I backsliding? Like, what's wrong with me that I don't want to go and do this good work for you? I've done it every Saturday for a long time. And the Lord said, you're not backsliding. You're getting free from false responsibility. You're getting free from, I now know, that unworthiness, feeding the unworthiness. And I was using my Saturday good work of winning souls to feed the monster of unworthiness that was in my natural man. See, when you're born of God, my inner man's birth of God, my outer man is not. So my outer man will always find rejection when it comes to trying to have a relationship with God. And so that's why it likes religion. I can do good works and then God will accept me. But my inner man, your inner man, is birth of God. So it understands God as a father. Just like a father holding a newborn baby. That baby didn't do anything to earn that love or that loyalty from the dad. It has nothing to offer but, you know, changing diapers and feeding it. But yet it has all the love and affection from a father and a mother because it's born to those parents. Well, you were born of God. So your inner man has no desire to earn anything from God. It only has a desire to receive from his father. So your inner man understands it, but the outer man, my outer man, had a giant of unworthiness pushing me to feed it good works, purpose, so it had something to offer God. I hope I'm making sense to you. And that is a deed of the body. That is a part of the natural man, a desire and passion to do good works, to feed that giant of unworthiness. And I was serving God through religion and not even knowing it. If you ask me if I was religious, I say, no, man, look, I don't even wear suits on Sunday. I'm not religious, praise God. But I was operating in religion, appeasing that monster of unworthiness, that giant of unworthiness, feeding it good works in the name of God. And it was through the power of the Holy Spirit, of praying in tongues, that he began to build up my inner man to where I can begin to fight that unworthiness. That's the part I want to really get to, why praying in tongues is so important for us. It's much more than just walking in power and walking out of sin. That's the first start. It's much more than that. It is putting to death those monsters and worms of the outward soul that we don't know is leading us and guiding us. And see, once you start starving it, that monster turns back into a little worm, and eventually you'll be able to squish it, kill it, say, it's no longer who I am. For I consider that the suffering of this present time, verse 18, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So this suffering is not sickness and disease. It's not even poverty. This suffering is the fight that you face when you choose to accept that the Word of God tells me who I am, not my outward man. And that can start with holiness of sins, of carnal sins, of sexual impurity. It can start with that. But then it goes deeper and it starts to go into your personality traits, why you are the way you are, why you think the way you think. And it begins to disrupt the outward man's ability, the outward soul's ability to lead you through life. You need praying in tongues a lot. Let's skip down because of time's sake here. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's your new nature. The moment you got that new nature in you, that righteousness begin to generate in your inner man to say, this is who we are. We are righteousness. We are holy. It begins to demand that this is who you are. And that's why when you play with sin, when you're first born again, the new nature is where the conviction comes from. It begins to say, wait a minute, that's not who we are. See, the conviction of God in the new nature, the conviction of the new nature is not negative saying, don't do that, don't do that, no, stop that, don't do that, that's bad, that's bad. That's not that. The nature doesn't look for bad things. The nature simply says, why are we doing this? This is not who we are. Why are we doing this? That's not who we are. The nature begins to convict us because we're trying to do things that we no longer are. We are righteousness. Why are we playing with sin? Why are we allowing that to live in our life? Back to 1 Thessalonians. We'll come back to Romans 8, but 1 Thessalonians, verse 8. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So the rejection of accepting the standards of Christianity, of holiness, of righteousness, to reject it and say, no, that's not who I am. God made me this way. He made me angry. He made me this way in sin. So I can do that and still serve God. He says, you're actually rejecting God. You're not rejecting man. You're rejecting God. In other words, you're rejecting who he made you. He made you, birthed you into righteousness. But you're still wearing the outward man. That outward man is where all your trouble is. The inner man wants God. It desires God. It desires holiness. So when you feel that conviction, the first fruits of your spirit, that's the new nature. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So here's the whole picture in Romans 8. From verse 10 all the way down, he's talking about the fight, the suffering, the battle between your inner man who's born again and your outer man who's not. More specifically, the inner man's soul, mind, will, and emotions that are birthed of God versus the outward man's soul, mind, will, and emotions. There's a fight, the flesh against the spirit. They're contrary to one another. They're fighting against each other by where you're going to go, who you're going to be. Religion allows you to serve God through the outward man without confronting that natural soul going through this suffering that he's talking about. And when you accept the sufferings, look what it says. Verse 23. Not only that, but we who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Boy, I can't wait till I get that new body. There'll be no more fighting, no more struggling, because my outward body will be made of righteousness, the same way my inner man is made of righteousness. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So once you accept, I am a child of God, righteous in the light of God, I choose to walk that out. I choose to develop it, let it grow. And I resist the outward man, not just the sin, but its desires and plans and purposes. Man, many times I get a victory over the outward man. And I think, man, I'm pretty good. I got it together. Then the Holy Spirit would begin to shine a light on other areas where the outward man was leading me and I didn't even know it. Masked in religion. Likewise, here's the verse, likewise the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses. What's the weaknesses? What's the infirmities? Everything that you're struggling with, suffering against, of the deeds of the outward man, the natural soul. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You need to pray in tongues. You do, I do. Every Christian should. The greatest deception of the enemy to the church has been to remove the value, the importance of praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will begin to build up that inner man. And as the inner man grows, he'll be able to shine a light and pick a fight on the outward man and say, that's false. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's false. That's not who you are anymore. And it'll get down to where you are killing those worms that you've been feeding your whole life and didn't even know it. They will punish you if you don't feed it. It's like an appetite. It's like your body. When you want to eat, at around noon, all of a sudden you want to eat. Well, it's not calculated. It's just the body says, feed me. It begins to ask you for food. And if you deny it, it complains. It'll make you uncomfortable. That's why fasting is a good weapon, a good tool, because you begin to say to the outward man, I used to say around noon, I'm hungry. But now I'm trying to learn to say, my outward man is hungry. And I'm choosing what to feed it. I know what it wants. It's demanding certain things. But I'm choosing if I will feed it or what I'll feed it. See, you possess that vessel. You get to tell it what it eats. It'll tell me all the time what it wants. But I have to possess it and say, no, fasting says to hunger for food. No, I'm not going to feed you. Feed me. No, feed me. No, I'm in charge and I'm choosing not to feed you. And if I don't feed this outward body, guess what? It gets smaller. I lose weight. I get skinnier because I refuse to feed it. Well, those worms in your outward man, in the soul of the outward man, it's the same thing. When it says, feed me importance, feed me purpose, feed me value, feed me attention. You say, no, I'm not going to do it. Then you begin to shrink it from a monster down to a worm, and eventually you can mortify it. You can kill it. We don't want to live at the mercy of our outward man our whole life. Many people do, many Christians do, and they don't even know it. There's victory for you, and it starts with you spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. Hour after hour, the Holy Spirit, He wants to help you have victory over sin, over sexual sin, over every area of brokenness, including unworthiness. And if you keep praying in tongues, you will find that is your source of strength to overcome the natural soul. He will help you. But if you ignore it and say, no, I'm good. I'm good. I love God. I give to God. I help the poor. I do all this good work. You will be the same 20 years from now. But there's so much more for you that God has for you. And it's found with you spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's keep praying. Let's keep it going. Let the outer man complain, because the inner man is being built and growing, matured day by day as you pray in the Holy Ghost. God bless you. I appreciate you spending time with me. I'll see you again soon.